Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Lamed Hei, the 35th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. This is a short Perek, it only has 15 psukim, and is focused on the fall of Edom. Interestingly enough, Yechezkel spent a previous section focusing on all the nations which would be destroyed. But this section of the book from 33 onwards is really more about the future salvation, about nechama, about comfort. So it's interesting to think about how this chapter, which focuses a lot on the destruction of Edom, is actually part of the nechama process. The Radak suggests over here is that because in a certain sense, Be'ez HaYeshua Tiyem HaPeles Edom, at the time of the Yeshua, somehow the fall of Edom is part of that process. We need to think about why Edom and the fall of Edom is more integral to the process of salvation than perhaps all the other nations. So let's dive straight into the Perek. The Perek is pretty short, pretty succinct, where Hashem says to Yechezkel, turn to Har Seir, v'notisi yodi olecha. I'm going to spread my hand over Edom, over Seir, v'nesaticho shemama u'mishamo. I'm going to make it a desolate place. The area of Edom is to the southeast of Israel, towards the lower southern regions of Jordan today, moving towards Saudi Arabia. And so this area is going to be an eternal desolation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to say, why is this? Yan heyos lecho evas olam, because you had this eternal animosity. Vatager es b'nei Yisrael, which sounds like you attacked Israel, al yedei cherev ba'es Edom, at the time of their destruction, at the time where their time came, you attacked them by the sword, ba'es avon ketz, at the time of the sins of the end. So therefore Hashem says, because of this, I am going to listen to this interesting repetition of words. I'm going to make you bloody, and blood will pursue you. If you do not hate blood, blood will follow you. The word dam is used over here four times in this short phrase. Obviously, a play on words connecting to the word Edom, right? Which is here, Edom was named for the redness, the ruddiness of his complexion, which was related to red and blood. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to say that the whole area will be completely desolate. And there'll be corpses will fill all their hills and their valleys. Everything will be filled with the remnants of war. And now he adds a second Ya'an. The first reason of Ya'an is in Pasuk Hey. The second reason why is in Pasuk Yud. Ya'an amorcha es shnei aguyim es shtei aratzos li tiyena virashnuha. That these two lands belong to me, v'Hashem shom hoya. But really they belong, Hashem is there. And therefore he goes on to say that in my anger, I'm going to express my din, my judgment over you, and shomati es kol ne'otzo secho asher amarto al hari Yisrael emor shomemu lonu nitnolachla. I heard all your mocking over the heels of Israel when you said it will be to us, and I will consume it. So therefore Hashem says, I will destroy you, because I heard of that. And finally, concluding this revelation to Edom, Kismoyach kol ha'aretz shemamo e'eselach, as the land rejoices, I will make you desolate. So just a few points to focus on. That's the actual text of the Perek. In summary, let's just understand a few basic ideas here. Number one is that it sounds like there's a few identified sins that Edom is being held accountable for. But the first one is the one in Pasuk Hey, which is because you had this Evas Olam Batageres B'nei Yisrael Ayadei Cherev. So what is this referring to? What is this terrible, terrible sin that they were referring to? So Rashi says, at the time that Judea, fell, when the first Beis HaMikdash, at the various stages of siege and exile, Edom was a willing partner as Bavel took its toll against the nation of Israel in the south. Babylon was a willing partner to witness and benefit from taking slaves. And this is what we're going to see later on in Micha, Sefer Micha and Ovadia, which are coming up soon, that Vehigarti Legei Avoneo, Shayum Maskirin Osom Le'elaivehem, that would hold people back, Rashi says, for the enemies. And in Ovadia, Al Talmud Al Perik, waiting at the side of the battlefield. So Edom was clearly an active participant in the downfall of Israel, which is why they have such an egregious end. The Arba Bar Nel says, no, it's not referring to right now. It's referring to the future, because in the future, at the times of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Romans, who are identified as Edom, will be the antagonists. And later on in the Hadrianic persecutions, in the years 130 to 135, Common Era, we're going to see a terrible amount of destruction from Edom themselves. So it's referring to a future period in time, perhaps not understood fully in its full complexity until the rise of the Roman Empire. To me, when looking at these psukim, it sounds like it's really actually just harping back to Parshas Toldos. If you look in Parshas Toldos and Bereishis Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Mem, when Yitzchak has the second Esav, the real Esav, enter the room, and Esav is terribly distraught because he lost the bracha, and he says, Berachani Gamani Avi, please give me a blessing, and Yitzchak says to him, the blessing is going to be, V'alchar b'cho atzichia, on your sword you will live, V'esachicha ta'avod, you will serve your brother, V'ayok ha'sher toirids. But when you grow restive of varakta uloy me'al tzavarecho, you'll break the yoke from on your neck. And I believe that this is exactly what's going on over here. If you look at this pasuk, hey, it's because you used the sword against him to throw off the yoke. In a certain sense, it's the fulfillment of the prophecy which Esav was given by his father, by our common father, Yitzchak Avinu, which seems to be being expressed over here. When we move on over here, it seems interesting that there's another claim in Pasuk Yud that gives rise to this punishment, is claiming two countries. What does it mean claiming both countries? Bar Benel suggests it's referring to Judea and Israel, meaning the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom. Edom claims both. However, the Malbim says, let's take it back to our identity question. What does it mean? It says that both these nations, Edom and Israel, are vying for the same inheritance. That if there are, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a book called Not in God's Name about how a lot of the religious disputes throughout history are as a function of different religions reading the Bible in a way which they have cut out another brother. Whether it be Yishmael and Yitzchak, or whether it be Esav and Yaakov, that there's a certain narrative that there's no space for anybody else. And what the Malbim is saying is that's exactly the problem over here, is that you believe you're the chosen one. You are at stake. Your identity is at stake. V'atem ha-goy asher bachar Hashem. So you want both lands, meaning both our land and your land, in order for you to succeed. It's interesting to notice that, you know, even after the establishment of the State of Israel, it was not until the 1960s, almost 20 years since the formation of the state, that the Pope ever actually went to visit the land of Israel, despite the incredible amount of Christian holy places there are in Israel. Now, that is, it took him a long time. It took a long time for the church to recognize Israel, the resurgence of the downtrodden brother. It took Vatican II, Nostra Aetate, to reformulate how the Christians look at the rest of the world, because their claim was, it's two countries, we own everything. There's no space for another, the rejected brother. What does it mean to say that at the very end, as the nations rejoice, you'll be desolate? So the Mitzvot David points out, because you rejoiced over Israel's downfall, so you will be rejoiced when over. To that same degree, others will rejoice over your downfall. And the Malbim points out that from this pasuk also you see that it's completely, it will be eternally desolate, le'olam it will be. And today you look at it, that area of the Middle East is not exactly agricultural central. It's not a very successful agrarian society. It relies on certain natural resources, but very much a desolate, barren wasteland, which only has tourism to help it. And that really is this prophecy coming into full fruition. One interesting addendum is that these conversations obviously do continue, and it is interesting to note that in the public disputation held between Nachmanides, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, and Pablo Cristiani in the disputation in Aragon under King James, the Ramban records the transcript of this debate in what's called Sefer Avikuach, and one of the claims that Fry Piri presents in this debate is that, you know what, the Golos of Bavel was only 70 years, so it makes sense that maybe we will kind of come back, but the Golos that's been since the Roman Empire has been so long, clearly it is a sign that the Jews have been rejected. And the Ramban goes on to explain that Golos is part of the makeup of our nation, and doesn't mean to say a rejection. But that's exactly what this specific argument, which is really worthwhile seeing and reading about, was rejection, is this galus, is that this HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us through a crucible, or is this Hashem rejecting us, as the Christians would argue, is exactly what's at stake in this parak, which is why why Yechezkel in no uncertain terms describes that there will be an eternal destruction to Edom at the times of the ultimate Yoshua. And this gives rise to part of the Nechama, which we are all hoping for. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.